Good evening. It is Tuesday night, February 6, 2018. The Sharks finish up their road trip in Colorado with a tough 3-1 loss to the Avalanche. They go 2-2-1 on the road trip, but nonetheless, nothing that you really want to write home about. But that's what it is, folks. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. And of course, as always, Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. And of course, if you want to be a part of the show, you know what to do. You know what to do, right? If not, here's how we tell you. You can use the Twitter hashtag Teal10USA. We'll get to all your comments throughout the show tonight. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, you name it. We got it. Of course, if you're watching us live around the world on YouTube, you can join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app, and I'll be going to you a lot tonight, folks. All right. How's everyone doing? Let's check in on the chat already. Keep it down. The Running Man is on right now. Ah, yes, with original Family Feud host Richard Dawson. So to Gen X Survey Set. Oh, sorry. My bad. Teal-nology After Dark. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. I stopped watching after a 2-0 out of there. There you go. Well, we're about to get to that bearded Sharks guy as we break down this game, or as AJ's favorite button on his little soundboard would be, let's talk about this game. Sharks came out flying. And they literally came out flying. They looked like they were on gangbusters. Great, great chances all around. But they outshot Colorado 14-3 in that first period. They had plenty of chances all around. Colorado didn't even get a shot on goal the last 15 minutes of the period. And they just locked down on Colorado this evening in that first period. It was a rough go at it, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, penalty wise, nothing much too much. The Mikkel Boedker holding the stick call against Carl Soderberg, yeah, Hedy had a little issue with it, but unfortunately, it is what it is, but it's not exactly it's not exactly the way you go. You know, you hope you get some of those calls made up down the road, particularly when it really becomes critical, whether it's playoff positioning or getting into the playoffs for that matter, or heck, in the playoffs for that matter. It is what it is, but nonetheless, no score after one period of play. We go on to the second period now, where things started to break out, and it's one of those things where I usually call hashtag that's so Sharks. The Sharks seem to dominate a period, and then usually it's at the end of the period that out of nowhere they get that rare scoring opportunity and the opposing team scores. Unfortunately, just came a little bit after the second period started, as Gabriel Bork gets his third on the year from Compher and Jost at 2:31 to make it 1-0 Colorado. Tough one to break it down, but you know what? When you have that, and I call it the Julie Gaffney method of play, just mainly because of you're so bored because you haven't had that many shots on goal, and it was just a bad defensive breakdown. Dylan DeMello just stopped skating for a second, kind of like sideways starfish before they tapped it in for the goal. Rough breakdown. The Sharks caught up ice a little too early, but nonetheless, it's 1-0 after that play early on in the first period, or in the second period. So just 2 minutes and 14 seconds later, Tyson Jost gets his fourth on the year. And mind you, the reason why you're hearing some of these guys, not in a particular way, McKinnon was out, Rantanen was out. So you're definitely having a lot of, you know, a lot of chances from other players. And although, you know, early on, it really just, it's just a rough way to go on it. And loser point still counts against the lost column tiebreakers. Yep, absolutely. And then on that 2-0 goal, Tyson Jost, you know, just gets a nice headman pass up, splits the D on the dilly-dilly, unfortunately. Wrist shot, beats Joner, makes a 2-0 Colorado on just 5-6 shots. Rough one to go, but unfortunately, that's the way the puck bounces in these games. And, you know, it's a rough one. But nonetheless, you hope that the Sharks bounce back. And they did eventually. At 13:29, Joel Ward gets his fifth goal in the season from Vlasic and Barkley. Oh, good row for you. Yes, sorry. Yes, it's a solo job, so be pre-prepared for my puns tonight, folks. Sorry. But this one was a little interesting because Vlasic throws it on net, and then Wardo, you know, fires it home, but it came out so quickly, they had to double-check it to make sure that that it wasn't off the post or anything. And of course, we go to Toronto, make sure, and sure enough, it hit the camera lens inside the net to do it. And therefore, you know, it's a tough one to get right away. And unfortunately, they went up the stairs, reviewed it, and went to Toronto for that matter. And you know, Wes McCauley is calling this game. Yes, the Wes McCauley calling this game. And sure enough, we were hoping for, you know, one of his patented calls. And it wasn't exactly the greatest in the world. But nonetheless, it's all right. The Sharks get a goal. Wardo, his fifth on the year, makes it 2-1. Right back in it. And plenty of time, too. I mean, you were under 8 minutes to go in the second period. But Colorado also kept getting their chances up, going on and on and on. But nonetheless, nothing happened in the second period after that. Game is 2-1 after two as we head to the third period. San Jose definitely was getting, you know, plenty of chances there. But so was Colorado. So it was 13-10 in shots in favor of San Jose in the third period. But once again, like last month in Denver, Jonathan Bernier stood tall on the task. And nonetheless, you know, he stops 38 of 39 shots. Obviously, the first star of the game, why not? You have to give that to him. You know, relatively speaking, you know, outside JT Compher's empty netter, that's his 11th on the year from Nemeth. At 3-1, I mean, a crazy, crazy shot. I mean, he shot it all the way down. Looked like it could be a simple icing call, but he's got pinpoint precision. He gets it in, gives it an empty netter to make it 3-1 Colorado. That's how it ends up. Sharks lose 3-1. They go essentially 500 on the, on the road trip. Gen X, who loves you and who do you love? We could go on and on a long time with who do I love for sure. Rob Iman in the chat, Varlamov could be looking for work next season. Yeah, I think Bernie's kind of locked it down and he's had a rough go with his career. You know, he was with LA and looked like he was going to be the starter, and then the evolution of Jonathan Bernier. So they trade him to Toronto. Hopefully that he was going to be the guy in Toronto. That never materialized. So he's found a home in Colorado, and good on him. And who knows? Maybe if it weren't for Garrett Sparks getting picked up in the expansion draft from the Vegas Golden Knights, something could have changed there. You know, it might not have been available to get Bernier for that matter. So nonetheless, let's go over the stats as we do always. I'll keep an eye on the chat as always, looking at you. Hockey jerk, you ignorant slut. Jeez. Now. Hockey jerk's a good guy. All right. So going over the stats here tonight. Shots on goal, Sharks 39-20, nearly doubling the Colorado's total. Faceoffs, the Sharks actually did really good tonight, 56-44 in the faceoffs department. On the power play, both teams went 0-2. Sharks, you know, just didn't look the greatest in the world on the power play. It just wasn't the greatest in the world, but you know, they're going to have an off day. They're not going to score a power play goal again, as much as we love to. You know, so for the hot takers out there, hashtag fire C-spot. I know, but it was 0-2. If it becomes a trend, then you get concerned about it, in my opinion. Hits. This is one of the things that even Randy had said something about. 22-7 in favor of Colorado in hits. And in my mind, what that tells me is that they knew, and this is becoming a trend with the Sharks, and this is not a good one. Yeah, they're going to take the hits, and they'll just keep hitting and hitting and hitting, and they just will not get away from that. So, you know, Bernie, Gen X in the chat, Bernie during this run has looked flaky at times. There's no goalie controversy in Colorado. Interesting. I mean, you got to give credit to Bernier for doing what he's been doing. And that's the thing. You find ways to win, no matter what it is. Dave B. Pilot in the chat. The problem with the power play was the fact that they weren't given the power plays they were owed. Refs were awful. Yeah, the refs were a little ticky-tacky. It wasn't the greatest in the world. I've seen worse officiating calls. I mean, but there's some that have been bad. EACNT, remember when Colorado unprotected Calvin Pickard to Vegas? 8 months later, yep, Pickard's in Toronto with the Marlies now, even after he had a goalie mask contest when he was with Vegas Golden Knights. Spencer Martin can get his opportunity next season. Yes, that's absolutely true. I remember we were talking about Spencer Martin late last year. I think, in fact, in the 4-goal Marlowe game, they were talking about Martin. That was Pickard that he got 4 goals on. The interference on Braun toward the end of the game was a brutal long call. Yeah, there was that one. There was also a tripping call, I think, in the second period that caught my eye. That was bad. And then, of course, to top that off, you had Soderberg kind of embellish it a little bit. Even Hedekin called it out that he was looking right at the referee as he's falling down. Tough to fall down when it's a holding the stick call. Nonetheless, good teams will find ways to win, but oh well, it is what it is, and that's the cards that they got to deal with, folks. They just have to get past that, unfortunately. So let's continue on with the stats here this evening. But first, let's welcome all those who are watching, Brody and Curtis, sometimes known as Batman and Robin, sometimes known as Robin and Batman, to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks postgame show. So do us a favor. Make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. Also hit that bell as well. We do this, I do this along with a constituent of teammates and friends after every game. And of course, you can also interact with us right now in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. You can use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA for all your Sharks needs. You can also hit us up on the interwebs at teal10usa.com. And also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube. You got it, folks. Well, hello, everyone. It's still me. You're still stuck with me, folks. I am so sorry. But thank you for hanging out with me this evening as we recap the Sharks game. Let's check out. Oh, yes, Gen X in the chat. Doc Brown and McFly. Hey, Gen X, if you want to join me, if you're not watching anything important like on Netflix, let me know. Phantom 0044, they needed to go to the front of the net. Bernier was not giving them an easy or pretty goal, so they should have. Well, net footprints is one of the things that many of us have talked about with the Sharks in the past. And it's something that they've been doing, but they need to be a little bit better in doing consistently. So let's see. Four paws up for hockey. Hello to you. Refs or not, Sharks should score to win. Well, hey, as they always say in the in those goals programs, in life, as in hockey, it takes goals to win. Dave B on here. Let's see here. I'm trying to catch up here, guys. I'm sorry. Ward scored the goal, but had a team low 9-11 time on ice. Well, Daniel Regan was on for 11-11. Yeah, we'll go into that in just a jiffy here. One second. We're doing some on-air things here while I get that. Sorry, folks. I don't mean to do this on the air, but nonetheless, it is what it is. There we go. All right. So let's see here. Is it here? Yeah, the Hangout Toolbox isn't working anymore. We are bummed because we love our lower thirds and everything. So it's a bummer. Yes, that's where that promotion came. That quote came from Jeff Friesen. Oh no, you're good. You're good, Phantom. You're good. I know. Yeah, no, it's something's going on with it, Rob. I don't know what it is with the toolbox. Oh, Regan's gaining more confidence from Rob Iman. Yeah, he is. I think he had to have some stabilization up with the big team, and it's slowly going to work out. Kevin LeBanc too. You're seeing Kevin LeBanc starting to shoot a little bit more, and I like it. He's not getting Donskoy dirty dangles, but he's been making some fancy little moves that are looking promising in my mind. LeBanc, Meyer are doing well. Yeah, four paws. I think that's totally the case. I honestly thought without Jumbo we would be worse than this. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a nightmare, and after that first game, I thought it was going to be really bad. But nonetheless, it's going to be interesting. House cleaning in Edmonton this offseason. That's for darn sure. That's for darn sure. It is what it is with that. To quickly finish the stats, the Avalanche outblocked the Sharks 21-12. Giveaways, it's just a small one, 4-2 in favor of Colorado on that one. As it was mentioned before, time on ice, Ward was 9-16. He was the lowest on there, but he got the only goal. Go figure. Goodrow 9-21. And an interesting one here, DeMello was 9-24. So that's quite interesting, as you know, while the Sharks did play behind for majority of the game, you know, two-thirds of it, it's you can't help yourself and ask yourself, 9-24, interesting. Brendan Dillon 13-40, that seems a little more respectable. You know, Vlasic and Ryan were at about 20 minutes each. Braun was at 21:40. Bernsey played nearly 31 minutes tonight. Not exactly the greatest ID in the world, but you know, it's you got to find ways to win, and you have your top players out there to be the top players, you know. So let's see. Speaking of Donnie, what's up with him? He hasn't scored a while, not really getting a ton of offense going. You know, it's with Donskoy, I think it's just trying to get more and more scoring chances where he's at. So going from there. Uh-oh. I think we've been hacked.
Yeah, hacked by sending me the invite. That's how a hack you were.
Gen X, what's up? Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's the least I could do. Quite literally, it's the least I could do.
Oh, well, yeah, you could tell me how to run a better show. Oh, geez.
No, you were doing just fine.
Ah, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Part of why, you know, I'm running solo, a lot of people are busy tonight. They're also shooting Pucknologists right now as well. So it takes out three key players of our Teal Town team. So so I got to keep the streak going. You know, so
hey, but like I always say, they don't have to be great, they just have to be there.
Yep, exactly. So let's talk hockey. Got anything to share, whether on tonight or before, or whatever's on your mind?
No,
in the world of hockey,
no, I got nothing.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I was just honest to God, I was just hoping I could get you to do a spit take right there.
Oh gosh, I can't do this on my computer. I gotta make sure I go this way if that's the case.
Damn.
I gotta try better than that.
I failed in my attempt to get you to do a spit take.
No, you just gotta keep trying though. I trust you on that for sure. Well, let's do the NHL wraparound, although I hear in the chat they call it something else nowadays.
What? The chat has taken the name of something and applied some sort of juvenile, adolescent, sexually frustrated name to it? I am both shocked and appalled.
Oh my gosh.
That I have contributed to it. I mean, I'm sorry, what? Hang on, what?
Bastard. Aren't sure. All right, there were a dozen games in the NHL tonight. In Buffalo, the Ducks pick up the overtime win as they beat the Buffalo Sabres 4-3. I believe it was Corey Perry with the game-winning goal, because NHL.com has decided not to load at all. There we go. No, I'm sorry, it was Adam Henrique in overtime. After Ryan O'Reilly got the tying goal with 15 seconds left.
And scored a goal for the Ducks, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because Ryan O'Reilly just can't do anything unless he crashes into a Tim Hortons or crashes into his own net.
Oh. Ah, I could use some Timbits right now. That'd be cool.
Just don't send Ryan O'Reilly out for him.
No, I'm good. Shoot, the closest Timbits is probably Vancouver. Nonetheless, moving on, in Pittsburgh, it was the return of Marc-Andre Fleury, and he got a little bit emotional in his video tribute that they showed on him. And
he got emotional at the end of the game, too.
Yeah, he did. He got mad and threw his stick as he left the ice. And maybe that was their secret plan, because it kind of helped them a bit, as the Penguins put 3 on Fleury in the second period. Reeves, Cole, and Gensel, all goals in the second for the Penguins. Malkin and Kessel finished out the scoring for Pittsburgh as they beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-4. William Karlsson, man, he's on a roll. His 28th of the season, hockey trick will like this. Real deal, James Neal with his 23rd. Former Shark Ryan Carpenter gets his second goal of the year at 6:38 of the second, or I'm sorry, the third, as Fleury loses against the Penguins.
And leaves all the money on the board for the bounty tonight, too.
Oh. In Carolina, Cam Ward, this loss. Well, yeah, that's true. The Hurricanes lose to the Flyers 2-1 in overtime. Wheel with the game-winning goal with just 4 seconds left in overtime. Wow. That's a huge ROW for the Flyers as they claw back into the playoff race.
Drink.
Yes, there you go. You're welcome. It's not the right Eric, but close enough.
Doesn't matter. You both spell it the wrong way.
Oh, F you. Freaking hosers. It's crooked. But it's, oh my gosh. And Laurel's.
You're a pronouncing machine tonight, though, so I'm going to lay off you.
Oh, good. I've been working. You can thank Christine in the chat for getting me the official NHL pronunciation guide. I've been doing that.
She's a rock star for doing that.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Although it takes away some of my fun.
I'm sorry. Don't worry. I'm sure I'll goof one up eventually. But not too bad so far. In Columbus, the Neon Buggers lose to the Capitals 3-2. Karlsson, Wilson, Backstrom for the Caps. Savard and Dubinsky, Mr. Stick Slewfoot for the Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets just cannot score. It's almost like they need their own Karlsson. I wonder where theirs went.
Oh,
damn.
Oh, snap. Snap, and he's never come back.
Oh, damn, they let theirs go to Vegas. See, you need a Karlsson.
Apparently, maybe they'll trade for Melker.
They can't get their own back, so they might as well trade for one of the other ones.
Or maybe they go for an Erik Karlsson. I don't know. Nonetheless, speaking of Erik Karlsson, the current team that he's currently on, the Ottawa Senators beat the New Jersey Devils 5-3. Sajak, Hall, and Palmieri with the goals for the Devils. Hoffman, oh boy, you might get me on this one. DiDomenico.
No, you got it. DiDomenico.
Yes! Matt Duchene, White, and Smith all score for the Sens. None the least of which isn't one of the reasons why we talk about this game. It's because there was a little melee and Alex Burrows said something about Taylor Hall's mama and they decided to be mean to each other. And then while the takedown happens,
let's Burrows, just stop. Burrows didn't say it wasn't a yo mama fight. Like, you know, it wasn't that. Hall was skating away. Burrows freaking jumped him. And then Burrows continued to prove what a unmitigated POS Alex Burrows is. And you know me, I don't go off on any individual players. Like, I got no problem with Marchand. I think he's a little dirty. No problem with Dustin Brown. I think he's a little dirty. I have problems with Corey Perry, but I think he's a little dirty. But Alexander Burrows is just a flat-out piece of shit.
Well, and the thing is that we remember the whole finger incident from the 2011 step final. And we also don't forget the little butt end to Dylan DeMello earlier this year. And then you see this crap where he's just like on knees. And then Burrows isn't doing anything. You know, Hall's not doing anything. And he's causing crap up. And
the finger thing, I'm like, whatever. You know, stuff like that goes on in scrums. Don't kid yourselves. The butt end and this, oh my God, I'm being attacked while the linesman is on top of me and I'm on top of Hall. I better flop around and wail my skates around and my knees. Oh, darn, I'm hitting you in the head. Oh, I accidentally hit you in the head again. Oh, I'm just trying to get up. Oh, look at me. Oh my God. Oh, ow. You know, that kind of stuff is just like whatever with him. He has more of a history of doing that. I know you guys hate Dustin Brown, and he plays on the edge, and he gets away with crap. I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff is way beyond what Dustin Brown even does. You know, Burroughs to me is just, he's Maxime LaPierre. You know, a guy doesn't have any place in this league. His upside does not, there's no upside that offsets this kind of petulant little BS. Okay, and I'm done. Thank you.
Well, I'll ask you this. Does he get a hearing from the Department of Player Safety?
You know what? I bet you any money he gets a phone call and a fine, and that'll be it.
And if that's the case, then I'm going to go off on the Department of Player Safety. Well, because that's absolutely ridiculous. If that's
get ready
case.
To go off on the Department of Player
oh,
Safety.
I plan to. And one of the guys that's the Department of Player Safety is Ray Whitney. So you well, know I'm going to be pissed off.
So
I'm going off on that.
Anybody that wants to do that, go back and listen to the full 60, the podcast of Craig Custance from The Athletic. He did with Patrick Burke and the guys from the Department of Player Safety, because it's no one person that makes the decision. And that's the only thing I'm going to say is go back and listen to that podcast, because it will open your eyes as to what goes on in there. And right or wrong, it will open your eyes, because it's not a unilateral decision. It's not George Parros. It's not Burke. It's not Damian Echeverra or any one person. It's, they take feedback, and he actually does a very good job of explaining the process of how they go through this. Oh, I'm sorry for you Canadians, the process of how they go through these things and how they yes. determine whether something's suspendable or punishable or finable or any of that. And going back and looking at that, you know, Burroughs is going to find some BS excuse that, unfortunately, by the rule of legalese, it's not going to be a suspendable offense.
Yeah, I just think it's just absolutely ridiculous that you've gotten away with so much crap. But anyhow, I digress. I'm not going to get into it, because then I might go down the trail of Dustin Brown, and
we need to finish the reach. I mean, wrap around.
Yes, exactly. Of course, NHL.com. Dang you. In Detroit, the Red Wings lose to the Bruins 3-2 in a original six battle. Former Sharks prospect Sean Corrali gets a goal along with Krejci and Heinen. Frick and Nielsen are the ones scoring for the winged wheel, as the Bruins go to 72 points on the, or wait, no, 64. Yeah, 72 points on the campaign. In Sunrise, Florida, the Panthers beat the Canucks 3-1 in a trade. Let's be honest, they are trade partners almost exclusively lately. As Harry Sateri continues his unbelievable run as another former Sharks goaltender doing wonders in Florida, McGinn, Barkov for the Panthers. Granlund gets the only goal as Shorty. Of course it was, because it's John Shorthouse with the goal there. So the Canucks lose 3-1 to Panthers. Continuing onward, Minnesota takes out St. Louis 6-2. It was a three-goal first period for the Wild, with Niederreiter, Foligno, and Koivu, along with Zucker, Dumba, and Stahl for Minnesota. Jaden Schwartz actually got things going early on for the Blues, scoring just 45 seconds into the game. Jaskin with the other goal when it was a little too late for the Blues. And they feel bad because they lose to the Wild 6-4. In Winnipeg, the former Jets lose to the current Jets 4-3. Roslovic gets things going 30 seconds into the game, along with Bufflin and Patan, as they get a three-goal first period for the Jets to outlast the
Thrashers. Come on, stop it.
Yeah, you know, the Thrashers over the Jets 1.0.
No, the Thrasher. No, just be right. If you're going to do it one way, you have to do it both ways. The Thrashers beat the Jets, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Winnipeg fans were rooting for the Thrashers. That's so wrong. It seems so wrong.
That is the world we live in.
I know. Ranta with the loss. Hella Buck with the win for the Jets as they go to 73 points on the season in Chicago. And wow, Chicago's just having a rough time here. They lose 3-2 to the Calgary Flames. Teach me how to Dougie Hamilton gets on the board for the Flames. Stone and Monahan also with goals for Calgary. DeBrincat and Patrick Kane with goals for the Blackhawks as the Blackhawks go to 24-21-8, while the Flames go to 27-18-8 on the year. And the Sharks were the last game on the schedule, losing 3-1 to the Colorado Avalanche. So as of this moment here, the standings in the West as we speak.
It's okay to call the Colorado Avalanche the Quebec Nordique if you're continuing on with your theme.
That's true. Well, if we might be we'll have fun with this then on the.
And it's okay to call the Devils the Kansas City, you know, just
the Kansas City Scouts or the Colorado Rockies.
Gotcha. Exactly.
All right. So the Atlanta Thrashers lead the Central Division. This is going to sound great on the podcast, by the way. The Atlanta Thrashers, sometimes known as the Winnipeg Jets, lead the Central with 73 points. The Nashville Predators, because they were an expansion team, were at 71. The St. Louis almost Saskatoon Blues at 67 in third place in the Central. The Las Vegas Silver Knights at 70. I'm kidding. The Vegas Golden Knights at 74 points. The half formerly team known as the Minnesota North Stars, that's the Sharks at 64. The Atlanta Flames, now the Calgary Flames at 62 as they leapfrog LA and Anaheim. Your wild cards at the moment are
Minnesota and Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes. The team that used to play in Minnesota is at 66. That would be the Dallas Stars. The team that currently plays in Minnesota, 63 points. I'll hold down the second wild card. Colorado with the win tonight goes to 62, as does Anaheim. LA was idle tonight, so they stay at 61. Chicago at 56. Edmonton starting to maybe make a run late here.
No, just stop.
Maybe.
Just stop.
They win 18 just, in a row.
Just have Canadian stop. Officiating. They'd have to go like 24-4-0. To make the playoffs. Just stop.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
The team only if you're literally in a dispensary in Colorado, California, or Washington is there a chance.
The team formerly known as the Alberta Oilers at 50, Vancouver at 48, the Winnipeg Jets 1.0 at 33. They are still mathematically alive. In the East, you have, well, it's Washington and the almost Kansas City Penguins at top of the Metro. New Jersey clinging on at 62. In the Atlantic, Tampa Bay still on roll, but oh, watch out for those Bees. They're at 72 points on the campaign with their win with two games in hand on Tampa. Four games in hand on Toronto at 67 for the Leafs. The wild card as we speak, I mean, shoot. Gen X, Philly with that 10-game losing streak. We thought, man, they're done. And they are now holding the number one spot in the wild card. They're just 3 points back in New Jersey in the Metro. The Blue Jackets are at 58 points. They've lost three in a row. They're probably taking notes and watching game film still as we speak.
Actually, I think all the Columbus players are out cleaning up the dog bombs that are left by the dogs that John Tortorella rescues and fosters. I think that's his punishment. He doesn't bag skate them or do the Herb Brooks, you know, again, until 2 a.m. He makes them go out and pick up dog bombs.
Ooh.
At one of his foster and rescue farms.
That's not good. That's not good at all. The Blue Jackets are at 58. However, because of the game in hand, they have the edge over the Islanders, who have 23 rows over Columbus's 21.
Sorry, I was drinking.
You're good. You're good. Islanders are at 58. Carolina, they are maybe Cam Warding this bitch to the playoffs at 57. The Rangers are on the outside looking in currently at 55. The Panthers are at 52. Detroit, Montreal, 50. And then there's Ottawa and Buffalo.
So you need basically to hang a little for sale sign on the Rangers right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll just quickly discuss that. So Rick Nash, a San Jose Shark, maybe? Eh?
No.
Unless they get the same deal that they got for Yannick Hansen without the Nikolai Goldobin part of it,
then, and I don't, pot's not legal in New York, so no. I don't care how stupid anybody thinks the general manager of the New York Rangers is, that deal's not happening.
Yeah.
Unless it, you know, the only way that Nash lands in San Jose is if you give up everything that you would need around Nash and Thornton and Couture and Pavelski and Jones and those guys to get you there, meaning your bottom, you know, what would effectively be your bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
What little bottom six is there? You don't have the assets. He's not going to, the Sharks just don't have any money to play in this game right now.
No,
not for any of the big names. You know, they can make minor moves for bottom six and, you know, 7th D or 560, but they don't have the money to play.
Right. Yeah. It and the tough part is just that they are now paying the price for acquiring Pulock, Spalling, and Reimer 2 years ago. It sucks, but that run 2 years ago was something special. So there's
you can go back further than that. You're paying the price for acquiring Burns. You're paying the price for, to a certain degree, acquiring Thornton. You're paying the, you know, it's every time you trade out to get a big name, you're leveraging your future, and it's been a slow decline on how much you have to leverage your future with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. The Sharks are a top 10 team in the league right now, but I mean,
there's
you're clinging six... on.
They're sixth. I think they're sixth in the West right now.
Yep.
That's not a top 10 team in the league.
Well, no, I'm saying points-wise, they are.
Points-wise? No, that's what I'm saying. If you go points, if you go straight sort by points, not this new NHL March Madness bracket BS, they're sixth in the West.
Yep.
You've got a team below you, technically, in the wild card, that is 2 points ahead of you right now.
It's crazy. Have you ever seen it this tight in the playoff race? Crazy.
I've tightened
right there.
I've seen it this tight many, many times, but this playoff format with the division and then the wild card and this whole bracket thing makes it more confusing, because, you know, how is a team that has 64 points sitting comfortably in a playoff spot, while there is a team with 63 and 66 that are fighting for a wild card spot? Well, it's all division based.
Yeah.
The Central Division is more monster than the Pacific, but you're going to end up putting a weak Pacific Division team in the playoffs that in a 1-8 system probably might not make it.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. So yeah, if it were the original format, yeah, the Sharks would be in sixth, Minnesota at 63, Colorado at 62. So, yeah, you would have Vegas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Nashville, San Jose, St. Louis, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's as it stands today.
Yeah.
And the Sharks would not have home ice.
Nope. Nope. Although with this format, they do.
Right.
They would host Calgary in the first round, and Calgary is not even in in if it were the old format. But this is kind of like the original format when the Sharks came into league, where it was the top four of each division, you know, went into the playoffs.
It was the top four, but it was still seeded.
Yeah, it was still seeded. It's not, it wasn't bracketed.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anywho, so that's where we're at there. Yeah. Like Ian says, although in the 1-8 system, you always had that team that won the division, but would not have made it to the playoffs the otherwise. Yes, good old days of the Southeast division, you know?
The Smythe, the Norris, I know. There were teams that won divisions that just, you know, there were entire divisions that didn't send anyone to the playoffs, but that's also, again, when we had four teams per division.
Yep.
And we don't have that now.
So. And a 22-team league.
Right.
So...
And there's a reason Montreal won 23 or 24 Stanley, or 22 Stanley Cups.
Exactly. Because, you
know, it's not like there was a lot of competition back then.
No, I know. Yeah, it's crazy. All right. But I'm back. Did we talk about the Burroughs in-person hearing yet? I haven't heard anything that it was an in-person hearing yet.
I've not seen anything about Burroughs even having a phoner yet. That probably won't happen until tomorrow. And I'd be surprised if he has a phoner. I'd almost just say that it's a straight fine. But I don't think that, actually, you know what? I don't think under the CBA they can fine without having a at least a phone. So you may hear. I don't think he'll have an in hearing at all. I would say there would probably be something about a phone hearing in the morning, at worst, for him. They may write it off. And they may do it under the covers.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, players have long memories. So that's the only thing I can say.
Yeah, and even the screen, even the photo that a photographer took, it almost looks like he's looking at his head as he's trying to kick him.
Oh darn, his head was in my knee's way when I was trying to get up. I was just trying to get, you know,
I'm gonna climb over him to get up off the ice.
I fell down on him again, you know. It's
thank you, Austin Powers.
You know, oh damn, oh god, was that, oh man, was your head in the way? Oh, I'm sorry, dude, you know. Yeah,
just awful. Awful, awful, awful. But you know what's not awful? The Sharks coming home.
Are they home right now?
No, they're heading home right now.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Dave B. Pilot. This is from Bob McKenzie. Word out of Ottawa is that Burroughs has been offered an in-person hearing with NHL player safety.
Good.
Thank God.
Good, because I set my expectation low, and then I like to be surprised when they jump over it.
And when this happens 2 hours after the incident, you know something's going down.
No, again, I can't stress this enough. Everybody, please go back and listen to Craig Custance's The Full 60. And I'm not a shill for Craig. It was actually an unbelievably fascinating podcast to listen to with Patrick Burke when they talk about this stuff. So it's got, you know, the timelines and everything, you know, there are people sitting there. They email each other after these incidents happen. It's not like they wait until someone tags them on Twitter or anything.
Oh, that's true.
they are actually watching all these. Yeah, I know. But just it is. And you can agree or disagree with how they do it. That's perfectly fine, but it is how it is. And to listen to him describe how they process these things, you get an understanding of, okay, you can kind of go through as a fan. Did they see this? Well, yes, they saw it. What are they going to do? Well, they'll announce something soon. The timeline is, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever. Sometimes it takes a little while because they have to come to consensus as a group. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they email each other in a group email. It's, there's one person that sort of says, hey, what did everyone think? And he
Right.
takes feedback from individuals where they can't see each other's feedback, so there's no influence. It's those kind of things that, you sort of step back from the process, and just for you, Ian, hey,
Hey,
you
great
sort of step
answer.
back from the process, and you kind of think about, hey, were they looking at it? And how did they look at it? Hey. So,
They get bucks in deep and they feel good and get chase after those bucks, eh?
once we get the pucks in deep, we got to defense on the turn, eh? Yeah, hey. Yo, hey.
Yeah, dump and
Yeah,
chase.
hey. We
Yeah.
just gotta get the pucks in deep, get their goalie moving side to side, yeah, hey.
Oh, geez. Well, I think we kind of summed it up here. Gen X, is there anything you want to add or free plug for that matter, as you help me save my bacon tonight from going solo?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger is just now taking out Sub-Zero on the Running Man, so no, because that's the only time you see really any hockey in a Schwarzenegger movie. And I believe it's the first time that any of the Stalkers was killed in the Running Man,
Oh, jeez.
which was a story originally written by who? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Bueller?
No.
Bueller? No.
No, that's right, Stephen King. That's right. Stephen King originally wrote The Running
Really?
Man under one of his pseudonyms, Richard Bachman. And
Ah.
thus concludes your your hockey nerd demo with Patrick for this evening.
With that, Gen X, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure to
Send me a button.
I thought I sent you all the buttons.
I have not received a single frickin' button.
Oh, that's because I don't know your address, and of course, well, let's be real here. You need to get your butt out here.
I've been out there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. When I can meet you face to face, you hoser.
Hey, look, I'm sorry. I had places to go and people to see that night, okay?
I get it. I'm totally more important. I'm not as important as Remender or Baker. I totally understand that.
Or
Or
Mama
Mama Janney. Yes, of course, Mama Janney.
and Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who I talked to for a few minutes that night too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's all right.
He was okay. He was okay. He was not happy about not being able to play, but he was okay.
Yeah,
He's a good kid. He's short.
he's a good kid.
He's a good kid, tries hard, plays a game.
All right. All right. If you missed any of this or you want to catch it again, and I'm sure you want to, you could check us out on tealtownusa.com. Or your favorite podcatcher, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. I still gotta update that TuneIn logo. And YouTube. And of course, you always please hit that subscribe button on the YouTube. We were at 624 subscribers. Tell like 376 other people that love Sharks hockey to subscribe to this. I would love it.
Crush that subscribe button
That's right,
now.
brother. So, for everyone here, thank you very much. Gen X, thank you for coming on and making me laugh. Unfortunately, I'm sorry you couldn't get me to take a spit take tonight, but.
No, I'm not done trying.
Oh, well. And until we'll be back with you Thursday as the Sharks play their very first home game against the, well, very first regular season home game against the Vegas Golden Knights. That is a 7:30 puck drop at the Shark Tank, and that you can be seen on NBC Sports California and along the 98.5 KFOX and the Sharks Radio Network with Dan Rusinowski. Scar! And all that fun stuff. So,
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave you hanging on your Rusinowski impersonation too.
thanks a lot.
Yeah, that one's all you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I
So,
try.
So for the entire crew at Teal Town USA, thank you for watching.
And me.
And the aforementioned Gen X, because he is awesome in Save My Bacon tonight.
And an egomaniac.
And
yeah.
Okay, whatever. If you say so, sure. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. We'll see you Thursday night. Don't forget, there's also a Pecknologist that'll come out probably tomorrow. Check it out. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you after the game on Thursday. Mm-hmm.